All right, hey everybody, and welcome to Indie Film Cafe. I'm your host, Jonathan Moody, and I'm with...
Polly Presents, and that is the Moo Cow Moo.
And I'm also with...
Just Jen.
All right, and we're here to talk about Shrunken Head.
Woohoo!
And before then, we're going to cue the music. Hey everybody, welcome back. We're here to talk about Shrunken Heads. It's a movie that I picked. It is from Full Moon Features, a company produced by Charles Band, directed by Richard Elfman,
who also
is known for doing the Forbidden Zone. Forbidden Zone, that's right. And by music by Danny Elfman and Richard Band. So kind of cool that the two bands, you know, the Band and Elfman team
right.
worked together on the music. The writer was Matthew Bright, the same writer of Forbidden Zone.
There you go.
And I guess I want to go into a little bit of trivia before we start this whole thing, a little backstory. So the budget was roughly $1 million, so that's pretty cool. I guess $1 million in 1994 is a little more.
Well, you figure they had to come up with all the shrunken heads, you know, they had to pay for all the boob snuggles. I mean, there was a lot of money that had to be spent on this.
Exactly. Now, this was also Full Moon's first theatrical release.
Wow.
So, that's pretty cool. Meg Foster, who's in the movie, has cited Big Mo as one of the best characters she ever got to play. I can see why, but we'll get into that, I guess. The majority of the actors in the bus scene, with the exception of Richard Elfman, were actually video store employees who won the film, won their roles in a contest.
Pretty cool.
That's cool.
Yeah, and Richard Elfman got to play the preacher on the bus, so that was pretty neat. Now, when they were going to the apocalypse.
Church of the Apocalypse.
And then Big Mo, the boss, the mob boss, is played by Meg Foster, as we said. As a transgender woman acting as a man, though the other characters still refer to her as a woman.
It's kind of confusing.
Bizarre.
It is. It's the weirdest. We didn't understand it.
Not only that, but I saw this movie years ago, and I completely forgot about it, and it's probably the single most noticeable detail throughout the movie, in my opinion. Definitely one of the more memorable.
Definitely. All right, so let's go into the cast. Shall we?
Okay, sure.
So there is Eric Egan. I want to say that's his name. It's A-E-R-Y-K. Never seen it.
Eric.
But I want to say it's probably pronounced Eric.
Probably Eric.
You know, or at least he let people call him that. He played Tommy Larson. Rebecca Herbst. I can't. Plays Sally. A.J. D'Amato was definitely Vinny. That's definitely it.
Yo, Vinny.
Then there was Bo Sharon was Bill Turner.
Bill Turner was the chubby kid.
The chubby kid. Okay, yeah. Bill. And then Darius Love was Frederick Merriam Thompson, or as he wants to be called, Freddy.
Just call me Freddy.
Bodie Elfman, who's, I guess, Richard Elfman's brother. And Danny Elfman's brother. It's the whole team of brothers.
There's the whole pack of Elfmans running around in this movie, actually.
There's a lot. Okay, played Booger. Booger Martin.
Booger.
But they also call Boog.
That's right.
Boog for short.
As you do.
So then Troy Frohman played Podowski.
They call Pud all the time.
Pud.
You got Vinny, Pud, and Booger. So you know you're going to like these people.
So those are like the main cast.
Oh, no, you forgot.
Oh, my God, I forgot. Mr.
The straw who stirs the whole drink. Mr. Sumatra.
I forgot to write him down.
The creepy old guy with all the power.
This was actually his last film.
Yeah.
Before he passed away. Sad.
One caused the other.
I don't think this movie was the cause of his death.
Well, you never know. I mean, he could have had his head shrunken, and now he's serving some dark master somewhere.
Maybe he pissed off the mob. I don't know.
Cleaning up garbage in the alleys somewhere.
Probably not.
As zombies usually do.
Probably not.
We'll get to that.
But then he's not a malefactor, so.
Okay. So, basically the story of the film is Tommy.
Do-gooder that he is. They're getting picked on by this group of kids. That's Pud. Right. That's Pud and Vinny and Boog. They decide to pick on these kids, even though they're like 4 years older than them. You know, it puts them, Tommy and them, in the position where they have to get back at them. So they videotape them doing one of their malefactory acts where they're like stealing pieces of aluminum from a car, and they have to get revenge, so they kill them. And then that's when Mr. Sumatra decides to step in and be the deus ex machina and turn the kids into little shrunken heads. And then they can exact their revenge.
Because that's what happens.
That's what happens.
In real life.
Absolutely. All the time.
All the time. Mr. Sumatra is from Haiti. He decides basically he's going to create these shrunken heads to get revenge on all criminals.
Right.
Okay, so real quick before I forget, I just want to mention that the ending of the film, so for everybody, I mean, if you haven't seen this movie, you got to watch it before you listen to this anyway.
You need to.
But the ending of the movie, he wants them all to go to sleep or whatever until it's time. Shouldn't it always be time to, like, get criminals? Like,
it's always time to send your shrunken heads out to attack malefactors in the big bad city.
Exactly. So I didn't understand that part.
Well, and then there's the whole Tonton McCoot thing, which I don't know if you guys remember, but that was when Duvalier was in power in Haiti. The Tonton McCoots were these secret police who would round up political dissidents and torture them to death. So they're actually not the good guys at all.
Mm.
But they have a cool name.
They do. They do. Absolutely.
Tonton McCoot.
There you go.
Right.
Say that with us, kids.
And they would, you know, use things like voodoo and zombification and all that as a way to threaten people and to scare the shit out of them. And they were very nasty, awful, awful people. Just so you know. Bring us back to a little tiny grain of reality. unlike the rest of this film.
Oh, wow. So, Jen, this is your first time seeing this movie.
Yes.
And we had seen it, at least I've seen it once, I don't know how many times.
I've seen it a couple times, it's been a while though.
What were your thoughts?
Just bizarre. Just bizarre. Like we were talking earlier, it sometimes seems like it's going to be a kid's movie, but then it takes some weird turns where it definitely can't be categorized as a kid's movie. So it was weird.
There was at least three times I heard you say, "What the hell?"
I wasn't the only one. I know there's a couple times we rewound it. My first problem is Tommy and his friends look like they're, what?
13.
Yeah, 14 maybe. Whereas Vinny and his thugs look like they're 21.
I know. And then Sally's kind of in between. Kind of too young for the younger kids, but... too old for the younger kids, but also way too young for Vinny and those background.
Which we find out later that she is 15 when the movie starts and 16 when it ends.
Which is a little awkward when we get to the whole boob snuggle conversation, which is coming.
Because, be prepared.
Because, you know, as it turns out, even when you're a shrunken head, horny little teenage boys remain the same.
Yeah. Just because you come back from the dead doesn't mean you're not a horny teenager.
And that's just a universal truth right there.
I was waiting for Shrunken Heads 2 to ever come out, you know, where so they could be older, you know, and everything. And I want to know if the Shrunken Heads ever age, you know.
Well, and that's why I said I was surprised it didn't become like a TV series or something like that, where that's what they do. They float around and attack malefactors.
I think if it had stayed in the more... kid-friendly category, it could have become
PG-13.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think you hit upon something that at least when it initially came out, and I remember when it initially came out, it was kind of sort of billed as more of a kids kind of a movie. Mm-hmm. And I sort of remember seeing on TV the ads for it and sort of like the play up for it, and it definitely kind of came across as a young teen. Kind of a picture, but it really kind of isn't. The language is not really for kids, and certainly there are other aspects of the film that are, they're really not for kids.
No.
So that was a little surprising.
And that's the worst part, because it does involve kids. So this could have been a monster squad,
right.
You know, or
right.
whatever.
Well, and the whole set out of the city is very, very much reminiscent of a kid's movie. It's a little bit sterile. It's, you know, very wholesome.
That one of those neighborhoods where everybody knows everything and they all call each other Mr. and Mrs. and
it's
kind of wholesome.
Definitely gives you that feeling. That's gonna
Yeah, like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or something like that. Right. It could have been like that, but unfortunately it went a different direction and became more Toxic Avenger-like.
Right, you know? Right.
I mean, see, that's the thing. Like, if it had stayed that way as a PG-13 movie, it could have been... I think it could have been a little bit more enjoyable.
It could have been more successful, but I don't know how much more enjoyable it was. To me,
your expectations, though, would be this is a kid's movie.
To me, this was far more enjoyable, just because it is completely out of everyone's mind. It's just, you're out of your mind. Richard Elfman, you are out of your mind, okay? I saw Forbidden Zone. I've seen this. You are a crazy, crazy man, and I love you for it.
Don't stop being crazy.
Please don't.
Not for our sake. The visual effects were really awesome. I liked all the effects in the movie.
What year was it put out?
This was 1994, I think we said.
94.
Okay. Yeah.
That, I mean, for the visual effects in that time, they didn't have CGI or any... I don't know if they had any computer graphics or anything.
They did. They had that sort of thing. It just didn't look nearly as good, and it certainly wasn't nearly as expensive or comprehensive as it is today. I don't know that I would use the word awesome. I think that's one of the issues I had with the movie when I first saw it back at the time, was like, my God, these effects are cheesy as all hell. However, later on after watching the film, it just adds to the enjoyment of it. I think if it had been a lot cleaner and clearer, it wouldn't have been nearly as much fun.
Right.
You know, it fits with the rest of the film nicely.
I agree. Well, the music, we talked about the music.
Oh, yeah, definitely very Oingo Boingo-ish, with a lot of Richard Band thrown in there, too. The music is actually very good.
Yeah, that's what very, very much surprised me. And it was still in that, I'm sorry, kids movie feel.
Right.
That kind of music.
I'm wondering if they were originally thinking of this as a kids movie, and then they just decided to go a different direction.
It's possible.
Like, because it has all the feels of a kids movie, but then it's got like violence and, you know, boob snuggles and other shit going on.
Yeah. It's just, well, like, I guess there's really no way you can make a true kids movie when you're gonna cut off three kids' heads.
Well, right, and then your three main characters get killed. They get murdered, and they all have the same funeral, which is interesting too. But then there's the other thing too. If you're making this, if your audience is going to be 12, 13, 14-year-old kids back in the early 90s, I'm not sure Big Mo is necessarily the best idea. It's going to be a little confusing. When I saw it, and I was kind of confused at first. Like, what is going on? Why is Meg Ryan acting like a man?
Oh, it's not Meg Ryan.
I'm sorry.
Yes. Meg Foster.
Meg Foster.
That would be a totally different movie. That
would have been a very different film.
That would have been.
I mean, I'm not saying she did a bad job with it. She does a great job with it. It's just, you know, you don't. I certainly did not expect it. It was a whole other level of what the hell.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it was hard to figure out if it was a female actor being a man in the movie, or if she, you know, dressing up as a man and actually a female, and it was just...
Plus, she's playing a type, too, the sort of mob type.
Oh, yeah.
So, there's that whole level, and of course, being a female, she's sort of playing it against that type. So, there's a lot going on. There's a lot to unpack.
I had heard from somebody, and I'm not quite sure who the person was, but I remember hearing that Meg Foster was originally not cast, like there was a male cast. So I wonder if that really was true, you know.
And then she stepped in as an emergency.
She stepped in and as an emergency replacement, came in and did that. That would make sense.
That would be like one of those apocryphal, awesome... serendipitous things that would just even make this movie even better.
Right.
That's just so cool.
Yeah, so I'm hoping that that's the truth, and then maybe I can find out sometime, you know.
If she comes back to Scares the Care, I'm definitely going to have to ask her.
I would love to see, because I'm going to Texas in, this weekend. That's one of the questions I'll ask Charles when I see him. I think figuring out if whether or not, he might not remember, you know, it's been a little bit, but maybe he did. That's probably a big thing to remember. Right?
Yeah, I don't think it'd be something you just forget.
And then
you may forget the details.
Here's the other thing about Big Mo, in that, so you've got this kind of little bit of gender confusion thing going on, but there's also a temporal confusion going on here, too, because it's like, is this movie made in the 90s, sort of set in the 80s, but harkening back to the 60s with the 50s feel going on? Because there's, you know, Meg Foster with the very 50s ducktail hairdo. And then, you know, there's just, it's hard to place sometimes what time period the movie's happening.
Well, when you have her character, and then she's flirting with Mitzi, who is all 80s.
Oh, God, she's an 80s icon.
Big poofy hair. I mean, like, everything stereotypical 80s.
Yeah, I remember you were like, pick a decade.
Pick a decade.
Come on.
It was crazy. I always thought it was kind of weird because the 80s, they did like the 50s and stuff, but they were like all over the place.
They were.
Yeah.
It wasn't just 80s. It wasn't just 90s. It wasn't just 50s.
Well, be prepared for some of that in Forbidden Zone 2, just so you know.
All right.
Thank you.
And for Flying Heads.
We'll be prepared.
Okay.
Apparently that seems to be a theme then.
Yes.
Oh, well, darn it. And let's talk about that, because we've been talking about it like for like the last
we
whatever.
We have to. What's going on is in the middle of all this, there is a female character named Sally who initially is hanging out with Vinny because I guess she can't tell a lunkhead when she sees one. And so, you know, Vinny and his group of thugs, you know, keep picking and beating on Tommy and the others. And she finally wises up to him and then gets sweet on Tommy. And they kind of have this little romancy thing going on. You know, very teenagey sort of thing.
They both look the same age.
Right. No. But, you know, they kiss a little bit. They get to hold hands a little bit. It's very innocent, very sweet and everything. And then Tommy dies with the others. And then she ends up going back to the lunkhead because she's just full of great decisions. And then so he, you know, Tommy and the others get resurrected and he becomes a little shrunken head. And he's flying around out in the open and finds her by the graveyard where she's, I guess, talking to him and missing him and all that. And so he just shows up and he's like, "Hi, Sally, I'm back. I'm a shrunken head now, brought back from Earth. I know I discussed you, but I'd really like to fly up your skirt."
We don't get a warning here. We get no warning.
Okay, that's true.
What's he say? "There's something I've always wanted to do." And we see her back, and we see this flying head go to her. We see just her top, like her upper half of her body.
Which you see a lot of in this film.
Yeah, so you see the upper part of her body, and you see the head flying towards it, and then the head dips. That was out of screen. Now, I was not expecting to fly up the screen. I was pleasantly surprised that he flew up the shirt.
Right, right.
But
well, there's no sweater puppies down there. He had to go further north.
And then didn't she like swat him away or something?
Oh, initially, sure, racked him like an actual real human being.
And then she felt bad.
Right. Yes. And then he kind of gets in there and he's like nuzzling up next to the bra and everything. It was very awkward. She's 16, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, so was he. Or he was 15.
Well.
Yeah. But it did seem like what they were going for is, he wanted, you know, a hug or something. There's like just a fairly innocent snuggle. But you're not under that shirt.
No. He wants boob snuggles. Let's face it. He's a dead floating head that wants boob snuggles. It's what I would want is a dead floating head, wouldn't you, Jonathan? Come on.
Well, I mean, that's the only thing you can get, that, you know, at a dead floating head. I mean,
that's
you might
true.
As well go for it.
So speaking of bizarre moments that hit you out of nowhere, there's the other one.
Which one was this?
Where she speaks with Mr. Sumatra.
Oh, yeah.
And he out on his balcony. And did anyone else notice he's the only condo in the building with a balcony?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's got all that extra money.
Yeah, huh?
After retiring from the Tom Macoots. Yeah, he was asking her a delicate question. Basically, he's asking her if she's still a virgin. But he doesn't ask her like that. He says, "I have a very important question to ask you, and you must be very honest with me. Do you still possess your maidenhead?
Or is your maidenhead intact?"
Maidenhead intact.
What?
And we're like, wait, what?
I didn't even know what that was, literally. I had to have them rewind it because I couldn't hear what he was saying necessarily.
And then the rest of us were like, wait, what? Did we hear that right? Go back.
I went to health class in high school, so I had an idea of what he was referring to. It's just ridiculous.
Is that like a clinical term?
No, a Victorian era maybe. Term.
Yeah. But then how would it be in school? Like, I never, my teachers never taught me that.
They didn't Jonathan.
Yeah, they didn't teach me what a hymen was. Like, I mean, it's the same thing, but they didn't say that word, you know? Like,
they didn't even teach you about boob snuggles, did they?
Oh, no. I was completely yeah, out of there.
I thought that was boob snuggles was instinctual.
I should think so.
Okay. I should have learned that by now.
It's a nice, warm, soft spot.
I haven't figured it out yet.
Yeah, but so there's some very odd, interesting moments in there, which is why I really like the film, because you're not going to find that in a whole lot of other places.
Mm-mm. I've never seen floating heads snuggling a boob before in my life. Never. Not until that movie.
Yeah, it's surprising. Yeah, but I mean, like I was saying earlier, the only thing that comes close is that one scene in Reanimator.
Yep.
And that's not quite a boob snuggle.
And that's also produced by Charles Band.
Yep, there you go.
He seems to like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that wasn't a boob snuggle. That was yodeling in the gully.
You're going to keep getting... was that Continuity Monkey?
That was Continuity Monkey.
Was there continuity in the film?
There was a bit of
there was some continuity, yes. I still don't like that one scene where he jumps out the window. And then he's like, all of a sudden, he's like down in the stairs in the basement outside. Vinny. Yeah.
So Vinny's thugs get turned into. We didn't say what the shrunken heads actually did.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They're good.
Didn't do that, no.
So, yeah, after they become shrunken heads, they each take on their own little individual personalities, and they each have their own little way of
attacking. Well, they had individual personalities before they were shrunken heads.
Well,
too.
I know that.
They did.
But it blossoms while there are little detached undead heads floating around. Yeah. So Freddy ends up becoming little Switchblade guy, right? And then Tubby, I forget his name.
Bill.
Bill.
Okay, so he grows fangs, as you do when you become a shrunken head.
Naturally.
And he becomes Vampire Head. And Tommy, I don't know how to describe Tommy. He becomes Electro Head.
Electro Head, yeah.
He's Electro Head, and he's kind of shooting this sort of low CGI electrical shockwave at people, and that's how they get you. That's how they attack their enemies. And when they do, they rise up from the dead and they start to do nice things, which is very odd.
Well, they kill the people, but turn them into zombies so that the zombies can do nice things.
Yeah, except they're not normal zombies. They're they pick up the trash, they clean up garbage. They clean out gardens, they weed the gardens.
And they fart all the time.
Yeah, so these are not like Walking Dead zombies at all.
They're farting Walking Dead zombies. They're farting dead zombies.
So in that respect, I'd say it's a lot more appropriate for, 13-year-old kids. But yeah, it's another odd, weird sort of thing you don't expect to have happen.
So back to what you were saying with the continuity, Hud and Booger get turned into these zombies. And then they come after Vinny, and that's when he jumps out the window to, the basement?
We never really see the fall or anything, so, it's a big, giant jump cut, I guess, and we just assume he's okay. But I just would like to point out for a moment that we're talking about a movie in which two of the characters are named Pud and Booger. I can't help but point that out all the time.
That goes back to the kid thing.
Right.
This is definitely this... feels like it was written for kids originally or something. And
originally,
then
maybe.
And then it just got changed into we've done Puppet Masters, we've done all these other ones. We can't do a kids movie now, So let's make it more adult. And then they lose. Like, you can't, it's kind of like a mixture of both, which makes it, you can't tell which one it is.
Right, because the language certainly gets very salty.
Which is kind of weird, too, because there's certain parts where they could use very strong curse words, and they don't.
Right.
It's like they're going into
like they're holding back.
50s sort of words.
That lexicon?
Yeah,
the patterns of speech, and that's another reason why it's hard to pin down the time period for this film. The way they talk changes several times. So, yeah, and that's kind of the one main issue I have with the film, is that there are some inconsistencies with it. There's just flat out strangeness. I mean, there's some of the stuff that goes on is just wacky, just wackadoodle stuff. And I put that 100% down to the influence of the director, Richard Elfman. Thank you for that.
And probably the writer, Matthew Wright, who seemed to write both of them. So it seems that he is, you know, that they work together well with, like, these really weird, you know, quirky kind of movies that wouldn't get made by anybody but Full Moon, you know? Full Moon was the perfect people to kind of bring this movie to.
And that's why you have to thank the movies, you know, thank God for independent film, because this is the sort of stuff that Hollywood wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole.
Oh, definitely. Or 80, just to keep going. You know, what do you guys sums up? Like, well, like, what do you guys think about this movie? Like, do you guys enjoy it, or do you guys...
Oh, sure.
Was it something... What do you think, Jen?
Yeah, I thought it was fairly enjoyable. It kind of took a while to get to the Shrunken Heads part.
It did.
To me, it was like, come on. And I think what would have made that better, if you will, Mr. Sumatra, he talks about Haiti and he talks about the old days a little bit, not a lot. He uses a bit of magic one time. And then the next time we see him do anything weird or whatever is when he cuts the heads off the kids.
And boils them. And put a dead cat in there, too.
Yeah. It would have been perhaps a little more lead up if they show his apartment with the dead chickens hanging around and the goats. Or if he did a few other minor little magic type things.
If the voodoo had been established earlier.
Because you kind of get a hint out of some of the weird things he's saying, but I don't feel like it's obvious enough for...
And I got to be honest, too. The first time we see the quote-unquote magic from Mr. Sumatra, it's kind of lame and has really nothing to do with voodoo. He just blows some little sparkly powder, some pixie powder, and all that does is all of a sudden the evil thugs lose control of their car and they crash into some trash cans.
Oh.
Okay, that's
fairy twinkle sounds with it as well.
Exactly. That was just, yeah, that's just like throwaway. That's just like magic with air quotes.
Right. And I like that, though, but I can see what you're saying. However, like, I feel like the script itself was made as well as they could. The only thing, maybe if they took less time with Mo in the beginning or whatever.
Possibly.
And got to the Shrunken Heads quickly. You know, because I feel like a lot of that, like them getting kidnapped and them, you know, eventually getting shot or whatever, had, you know, some of that not happened, you know, or whatever,
yeah.
or lessened, you know, time-wise.
But I guess they had to establish why they were getting killed.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, most slips.
Yeah.
Although, does anyone else find it odd that when they escaped from Mo, so they've been kidnapped, they find bags. Huge bags
that
of
they're
these
carrying,
gambling
yeah.
huge
tickets.
Duffel bags.
They escape. The thugs are right behind them. Like the thugs see them escape, and the next thing we see are the kids just kind of moseying down the road with these giant bags of tickets, knowing that they're gonna be, you know, obviously someone's gonna come after them. You know what else would have been a little odd? I mean, I would have been running, hiding, police, you know, something like that.
Or found a place to hide.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were just walking out in public, like, da da da. And the time was so weird, because Mo had time to go find, what's his name?
Vinny.
And talk to him, all the while these kids are still walking the streets with her stuff. She should have been out looking for them instead of, you know?
Well, and she couldn't even be bothered. She had to go to Vinny and make him do it. It's like, what?
Yeah, that didn't make any sense. Like, if that, like,
really important tickets, too.
My slips.
These are my slips that are very important, but I'm going to trust you, who have screwed up a bunch of my stuff already, to go handle and get them back and kill the kids.
Right, and by the way, let's for a moment there about Big Mo. Okay, originally when we run into her, she has the kids kidnapped by Vinny and his thugs, brought to her. And then she kind of chastises them for ratting them out and getting them in trouble with the police. And then she goes, you know, I'm just going to let you off with a warning. She makes the point of that. Now, we go right from warning to have them all killed. I mean, there's kind of like no in between there. No left, like just beat them up or something like that, or threaten them. Just kill them. That's kind of a huge jump.
Yeah, because, I mean, obviously all those thugs had to do was beat them up and take the stuff. And then, you know, there's no proof of anything. They can't say, oh, these people beat me up, you know, right? Like, they're not going to go and rat and
right.
say something about the slips, because they don't know what they're talking about.
The problem is that the Shrunken Heads are going to be the kids. They're not going to be the enemies, because you don't want to turn Mr. Sumatra into like a monster. That's a different film. The movie is about the kids becoming the shrunken head so they can become agents of vengeance. And in order for that to happen, they have to die. And the only way they're going to die is because of the whole nonsense with the slips.
Well, no, I understand. No, I understand the point of that. I'm saying that the point of having them be, you know, basically murdered or whatever is just really brash.
Oh, it
know?
Is. It's overkill.
Like, it's, so it's like doing that compared to just beating them up, you know, which is what normal people would do. This movie goes above and beyond and is like, you know what? We're going to fucking kill some kids.
Right.
You know, we're not going to we're not gonna give you this like...
And then it goes another step above that when Mr. Sumatra says, yeah, I'm going to take the kids. I'm going to go to the funeral parlor. I'm going to saw their heads off, take them back to my house, boil them in a giant pot, throw in a dead cat and a dead chicken, and then I'm going to say a bunch of mumbo-jumbo, and they're going to fly around. And by the way, you saw he was, like, teaching them how to fly and teaching them how to do their little things. But and the heads, by the way, are pretty amazing. They're actually really well done. Yeah, so that's, like, pretty damn crazy there, too. Another level.
But there were some moments that were, I mean, for as crazy as this was, that seemed pretty authentic. Like when Pud and Booger are joining Vinny and shooting the kids. Pud and Booger, they don't want to. You can tell they're turning away.
Yeah.
Pud is turning away.
Pud closes his eyes and turns away.
Yeah, Booger is cringing. Okay.
Half-assed bad guys.
Yeah. And then
Vinny's like a badass. He's just like, I'm going to fucking shoot him with my shotgun.
But, you know, seeing him turn away, like, okay, yeah, realistically, you're going to have to shoot these kids that they obviously know. They all live in the same neighborhood. They're going to cringe a bit on it. And then, of course, you were talking earlier, the scene where they're Sally and...
Tommy,
yeah. And they have their little kissing scene. It's very, very cute, very young, very innocent, you know. Nothing extraordinary there.
Yeah, there was no boob snuggles on his mind at that point.
Well, we don't know if it was on his mind. But he got interrupted.
Right. Mm. But to get back to that one scene where the kids are getting killed, you did point out the fact that they get shot in the middle of the street, front, you know, and nobody says anything, but when the tires squeal when the guys leave, everybody pops their head out.
Yeah. No one hears the gunshots. Everybody hears the squealing tires.
That was funny.
Makes absolutely no sense, but you know what? I mean, in a movie like this, if that's one of the little things, you know, it's okay. It's okay, because this movie is just off-the-wall nonsense throughout the whole movie.
Yeah, but you gotta admit, though, he's got an awesome cape, Mr. Sumatra.
Oh, yeah,
and he's
it's
the
very festive. It's got a lot of interesting black
gold
feathers.
Gold and black, or gold and red with black feathers.
He looks
very
like
nice.
He should be in one of those, what is the big festival down in New Orleans where they all dress up like that and go marching down the streets.
Looks like Doctor Strange. So I wanted to bring this up with talking about Mr. Sumatra. One of the scenes that I laughed at because it was so bad in a way. I don't know if it's just the choreography, the filming, whatever it was, but like Mr. Sumatra comes in and he's bringing in all the zombies to kill everybody,
oh,
and he's like,
Mo.
"Oh, get go kill everybody at the end or toward
everybody
the end."
Everybody being
like
Big
all
Mo's
the
people.
Big
yeah.
Mo's people, Big Mo's.
Big Mo,
Vinny, yeah, and so they're like, he's like, oh, you can't do anything to us, and they shoot him.
I loved it.
Oh yeah, because he's in the back laughing. They're all fighting, and he's back there going, oh,
you can't do nothing to hurt me. And then they shoot him, and then all the heads go poof, and fall down,
and
I'm
the
like,
zombies too.
Wait a minute, that's it? Like that's all it takes? Which didn't make any sense. Like how is he? You know, he's the master, but he's not. It's not like his mind is controlling them or anything, so why...
The power is tied to him, which is why he teaches Sally, so then the power
right.
can be transferred to her.
Because he's still been shot this whole time.
That's
I mean,
true.
You kind of forget about that.
Yeah, but he was teaching her before he got shot.
But does that make him a virgin?
Ooh,
must be. Unless the men, unless the men don't have to be, in which case I call shenanigans.
Well, typical.
Yeah.
And I was wondering the same thing.
Really,
at the
were
end,
you?
Like,
because
so
he makes such a point about it.
He makes a big point. It's like, let me ask you, Sally, this is a very important question. The end of the world, you know, depends on this. Is your whatever attached?
Yes. Well, and then she comes.
Maidenhead.
Changes. It's supposed to be robes, and it's like a 1940s evening right. gown.
A white, white, white gown right out of.
I have to admit, it was a gorgeous dress.
Oh, yeah.
I loved it.
It's right out of White Zombie. I mean, it's perfect. And then the other thing, too, about the shrunken heads themselves, they take some damage. I mean, the Chubby Tommy gets a shotgun right in the face. I kind of expected the head to blow up, but it didn't, but it was close. And then poor Freddy Head, he gets run over. He gets squished by the car. That was
Twice.
Gross. Yes.
Twice.
That was
and
pretty
like,
gross.
And he's just like literally smushed. And I was like, wow, they really went out on that.
And then he scooped them up and brought them back, and Mr. Smasher fixes them up.
So it's like, wait a minute, these heads can like... survive anything, you know?
Indestructible heads.
Which, I mean, would be perfect if they did, like, sequels or whatever. That means that they can never die and that we know that. And the only thing that, you know, Mr. Smasher. You know what? It might be because, you know, Julius Harris passed on that they didn't make another one.
All right, Charles Band, I'm going to pitch you this movie right now.
Oh, no.
Sweater Muffins. Okay, they come to life, they fly around, and they attack malefactors, and, yeah. You know, it's the same thing.
Shrunken Heads 2.
There you go.
Sweater
muffins.
Is the tagline of that? All
That's right.
right. Interesting. Go right ahead.
Oh, no.
Anyway, moving on.
Well, we also didn't mention how he calls the heads back.
Oh,
after
yeah.
he sends them out on their missions.
He calls them back.
With a
horn.
Right, some kind of weird twisted horn.
It's funny how the neighbors were complaining about,
the
like,
smell.
The smell, but not complaining about his fucking noise. Like, his horn, you know?
Or
like,
all the dead animals.
Yeah, they were complaining about the smell, and he said, oh, it was a dead cat. And he holds up the dead cat.
That's funny. Remember the neighbors, they talked to him about it, and he's got this dead, obviously dead cat. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yes, the doctor who takes care of cats... says that the cat will be fine.
Yeah.
It's just a very awkward way of saying the doctor who takes care of cats.
The veterinarian?
Yeah. I was wondering why he had the cat stuffed in his jacket. You know, there are bags. And I know even back then there were shopping bags or regular
it's
bags
true,
or
there
something
were.
Where you
I
wouldn't
remember.
Accidentally drop your dead cat on the way into your condo.
With your, well, of course, he had the dead chicken around his neck, so he doesn't care. He just doesn't care. He's got dead animals, and that's just the way it is. You know, you don't like it, tough titties. That's who he is.
Tough sweater muffins?
Tough sweater muffins.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so there's a lot of interesting things about this film that I like. It's really not like anything else.
Interesting is
see.
Definitely the proper word for it. It is
odd,
interesting. Odd.
Strange.
But.
Bizarre.
But bizarrely beautiful. I enjoyed this kind of
stuff. Oh, yeah.
Stuff.
And there's lots of really cool professional touches. I mean, it looks great. The filming is really good. The direction is actually, if you get past the strangeness, is really well done. The models that they use in a lot of the scenes where they're flying through, those are really well done. So there's lots of good technical stuff. You can tell there is money that was spent and spent properly. It's just, you know...
acting was good.
Yeah, and the acting was good. I mean, it really was. It's just so odd that you don't think about those things because you're just caught up on the strangeness that's going up, you know, story-wise.
Yeah. I mean, I liked everything in it. I liked the model sets, basically,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just how fun it was, you
right.
know.
But you notice, like, the cars, they all look like they're, like, 60s cars.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, it's very confusing about the time period.
Yeah, they don't have a... pick a decade. Perfect thing. Just pick a freaking decade.
I mean,
stick to it.
You look inside Sally's bedroom, and you've got to wonder, what year is this? It's hard to tell based on what you see. And I do call shenanigans on the fact that she has that picture of Tommy next to her bedroom. Where did she get that?
A year later.
I know. They were only, like, together for, like, two nights.
Yeah,
know?
Not even. Like,
not
one
even.
Night.
One night.
Kind of, yeah. Because, like, the next night, I think he died.
Right.
You know?
He, like, kissed her for 5 minutes. He held her hands for 5 minutes. Then he's
Then
dead.
He got arrested. But everybody got taken away by Big Mo. And then he... left and you snuck out this. So it literally was the same night.
It was the same night.
And so he got kidnapped. Then they escaped. They grabbed the bags. They walked out, ran out. And then they got shot. Mm-hmm. And that was the same.
Wow. So that's... where did you get that picture from?
I tell you, man, she's been hanging out at that grocery store. She's been hanging out at that grocery store and...
Oh, hitting on the dad?
Not hitting on the dad. She was sitting with him at the funeral.
She was.
You know, so there might be a little something going on that I don't know about, but I don't think so.
She seemed to be strangely fixated on Vinny, and Vinny, this lug, you know, I love how he gives her this golden heart pendant, and it's inscribed, and you look on the back, and it says, "To Sally from Vinny." Really? I mean, is that all you could write on there? You had to put the provenience of the item?
Maybe that's it was a budget thing.
I suppose. She could have actually said something nice.
I know.
It's
but...
just odd.
Oh, no. If he said something nice, you see, that's the perfect thing from Vinny. You know, Vinny is not, he's not a romantic dude.
He's like, not he's the sharpest knife in the thing either.
So the only thing he'll think of to say is to Sally from Vinny. Like, that's the perfect thing. Maybe that was... I disagree, so I think that's the perfect pendant for him.
It's like he thinks he has to put something on there, so this is what he goes with.
And she doesn't know any better. I mean, that was probably her first boyfriend she ever had. He's this jerk or whatever. Then she realizes Tommy's much better of a person, and so she goes after him. Now, she goes after him. All that stuff, and... It's just, I feel like that is...
She goes back to him, though. Remember, she buys his song and dance and baloney. And, all of a sudden, and then he's groping her in the back of the car, makes her leave, makes her walk home.
It doesn't make her walk. She walks home on her own.
I think he calls her a nasty name and says, fine, you can walk home.
Yeah.
And she didn't care because she didn't want to be in the car with him anyway.
Right,
so,
right.
I mean, he was basically trying to rape her. So.
And you know, just kind of wrapping up her character a little bit, she has kind of some interesting fashion choices. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, are you complaining about her?
I'm not complaining. It's just
she likes crop tops.
Yes, she does.
I'm complaining. I feel uncomfortable looking at a 16-year-old. You know,
well, the actress I don't think was, but
maybe
it's hard to tell.
Yeah,
she's
you can't
younger.
Tell. She looks 16.
But yeah, crop tops, and then that thing with the shoulders.
Oh God, the shoulders missing. I like Mitzi's outfits better, and she's
oh Lord.
Woo. Yeah.
She has this one outfit where there's like strange holes in various places. I'm not sure why they're there.
All right, come on, everybody. Let's agree that Big Mo is the best dresser.
No.
Oh, but it was funny. I think you mentioned something about how Meg Foster got ill from smoking all the cigars during the production. Because she's always there sucking on a cigar. I guess it's her thing. It's her character's thing.
Yeah.
With her ducktail. Very, very 1950s.
Very well done.
Very well done.
Very nice. Yep.
And did we have anything we want to say about poor Booger here? That's another Elfman, right?
That's Bodie Elfman.
We did get a male shower scene.
That's true. It's very interesting. The sort of thing you would have expected in most films is, you know, you see the form of the shower and the camera's panning in and you expect it to be a female.
Sally in the shower.
Right. But instead... It was Booger in
Again,
the shower.
I'm glad they didn't go with Sally because she's 16. But then, again, I'm kind of weirded out by seeing Bodie Elfman in the shower when he's, like, 16.
And what the hell was all over the shower tiles? That was gross.
Well, the whole apartment was kind of gross, so.
Booger, clean your shower, please.
Now, what about Podowski?
Oh, Pud.
Pud.
He's another guy that... or another character that has odd fashion choices. He doesn't like sleeves.
I believe he's done a few Full Moon movies, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like
I've seen him
around.
He's
a Full Moon regular, or was. You know, I don't think he's... Not many of the regulars from this time period work nowadays, but I think it's interesting to see... You know, he was a fun character, you know, mm-hmm. And I really liked him in Saved by the Bell, so Troy Frohman, who played him, he's a really... He's a fun character actor. And when he becomes a zombie, like, he's
oh,
so
yeah,
much
he's
fun.
Fun. He's
you
fun.
Can tell he was enjoying it, you know?
Jacket's on backwards.
My problem is, I mean, he's like 27 trying to play 20 or 18 or whatever it's supposed to be. It's just kind of odd that way. But, yeah, you can definitely see he's... And he has this weird relationship thing with Booger, you know? Like, he needs to crash at Booger's house. Or his apartment because his mom won't let him in, and He's there, so he sits in his underwear watching TV. Meanwhile, Booger's walking around with just a towel wrapped around him. And then he goes in to take a shower and doesn't bother closing the door. So you're like, okay, what the heck's going on here? Mm-hmm. What's the subtext here?
Well, I mean, there is probably a little bit of a homosexual undertone thing going. Maybe. But, homoerotic undertone. But it doesn't really, like, they don't do anything with
it. So you're saying he was looking for moob snuggles?
Maybe. Maybe. That could have been, oh, that could have been the thing.
No, there wasn't any tone like that.
No, well, no. It's just
well, it is subtext. Kind of. It's supposed it is for to be kids, a kids, remember? Yeah. Yeah, it's supposed to be a kids' show. So, I mean, I'm guessing that's why they didn't go that route.
Not that there's anything wrong with it. It's just, you know, the whole tone of the movie is just a little odd to begin with.
Well, it has different tones. It's not like the same tone throughout. It's got different stuff. Like, it's strange, you know, most of the time. But that's good. You know, you don't want a movie. You don't want to watch a movie that's just boring, you know,
no,
kind of thing.
No, we certainly. And this is definitely not a boring film.
No.
And we did get some car bickering just for
we
you.
We did. Love the bickering. You know I love that.
Oh, yeah. Car bickering. Yep. Which they don't really bicker that much throughout the movie, which is good.
No, there's always something going on, which is a plus. That's good. You want a movie that moves along and there's stuff going on. It yep. may be silly stuff that's going on, but at least there's something going on. Yeah, and that's kind of an odd thing when he gets his throat cut. There's not a lot of blood.
Oh, and they're watching Robot Wars. Yay. While I'm pretty sure it's either Robot Wars or Robot Jocks or right. Crash and Burn. One of the full moon Empire movies. I'm pretty sure it's had to be a full moon movie. So.
Oh, and then I love it because then Pud comes in and he's like, hey, you've been in there 3 hours, blah, 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 blah. And he goes and he turns off the shower and he's looking around. And he doesn't even notice the dead body until like the very last second. I'm like, dude, open your eyes.
That's kind of funny. Well,
so a lot of interesting stuff. Interesting stuff.
So what do you guys want to do? Our
stinkometer. So this one was a little hard for me. There's definitely some stink going on here, but there's a lot of high end production too, in my opinion. And the movie's just so odd and so weird. It's tough to give a grade, but I think I'm gonna go with a 5 for this.
Ooh, you know,
right,
five.
Kind of in the middle.
Wow, that makes me wonder about mine. I was gonna go with a 3.
Really?
Not because it's a bad, bad movie or anything.
Well, remember,
but
the lower the better, actually. The,
right.
The more, the higher the number, the worse, the stinkier.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, no, but see, it wasn't a bad movie.
Right, that's kind of why I put it about a 5.
Yeah, and so it wasn't a great movie or anything.
It was not.
So it's not like a 1 or a 0. But
right.
I think 3 is just fine, I think, because I liked it. Like, I enjoyed it. So I'd say 3. What do you say, Jen?
I probably stick it closer to a 4, because it did have, the bad part would for me would be just the story. Everything else was pretty well done, well in the time period confusion.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But everything else was well done.
Okay.
So really, you know, the dinky part of it as opposed to some of the others we've watched would be the story.
Keep that in mind when we see our next film.
Oh, God.
I'm just going to say.
Is that going to be pretty high for us, do you think?
Oh, I'd say so, okay. Yeah. Yeah. You know I try to find the stinkiest fruit for you guys.
I know. This is my choice, so I always, I think I'm the nicer one when it comes to picking
this
stuff.
This is a fun movie, though. I would have picked this at some point.
I would like to point out that the cover on the DVD makes it look like this truly horrific horror movie.
Right.
Right.
I was not expecting something as, I don't want to call it lighthearted, but as light
tamer.
As this was.
Right.
It was definitely a tamer movie than what it's portrayed as on
right.
the cover.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But
I was
see,
very surprised.
I think that's a full moon thing. I think they do that for all their things to make them all look like that.
Right,
and then,
it's a marketing thing.
Yeah, so people go and they get them and then a lot of them aren't like that. You look like Evil Bong. I mean, it's not. it's fun and lighthearted. And
I will rely on y'all's expertise.
You haven't seen
for
an
that.
Evil Bong movie yet, have you?
No.
We need to show you Evil Bong versus Ginger Dead Man. I think you'll like that one. It's
oh,
so bizarre.
Dear.
A lot of fun.
Well, with that being said and everything, thank you guys all for listening. Check us out on Indie Film Cafe on
we're on Facebook and our page, our homepage is https://indiefilmcafe.reviews. That has the links to all of our podcasts, and it has our YouTube channel on there. It's got the Stinky Movie scoreboard where we're keeping track of all of our films.
Does it have a Patreon link?
We all have a Patreon link there as well. It's got a link to your website. It's got my movie review sites. It's got Jen's cooking blog. And whenever we do our live event we did last week, we make our announcements there. So it's got that's the place you go if you want to find out any information about Indie Film Cafe.
Well, there. Thank you.
There you go.
Thank you for that. Yeah, that was awesome. And, yeah, so if you guys go to podbean.com/indiefilmcafe, check us out. Tell us what you think. We're also on iTunes, by the way. So check us out on that.
Give us good reviews. Share amongst your friends.
Tell people about us.
Reviews and dollars.
Yes. And, yeah, I am off to Frightmare next weekend, so...
Texas Frightmare.
We won't be back till the weekend after that, where we'll do the Blood Llama movie.
Barn of the Blood Llama.
Yes, that one. so that'll be our next movie, so get ready for that. But until then, we'll do some YouTube videos, so check us out on YouTube.
That's right.
There'll be a review of Circus of the Dead coming up soon.
Circus I believe of the Dead.
I will be doing a review of Getting Schooled and maybe doing something else. Not sure. We'll see how much time I have because all the things that are going on right
and
now.
And I'm probably going to drop a review of a movie at some point. One of the movies, because I've got to the point now where my trolling for stinkers, I really have about half the movies I've seen and the other half I have not. So I need to start watching those films.
Yeah, get on that.
Completely. And speaking of getting on stuff, what about you, Jen? Getting on doing some cooking stuff for?
That's right. We're hungry.
Yeah. I did a Colonial Innkeeper's pie this past week. I just haven't posted that, and
that was the one you brought in.
Yes.
That was very good.
Yeah, and I did a true vintage chop suey.
Nice.
Which was surprisingly good, even though it had 2 cups of celery and 3 onions. Oh yeah, it was like all celery and onions, but flavor wise, it tasted quite good. So those will be coming out, and I have quite a few dessert recipes.
Very cool, outstanding.
Yeah.
Anything with aspic?
Is that a request?
No.
Come on, you don't want like jellied chicken salad or tuna salid or. Oh, your poor faces.
Nothing like brown jello. It's brown, savory, salty jello. It's just...
Brown jello. That just doesn't sound right at all. I feel like there's a Cosby joke in there somewhere.
Oh, Lord. That's right. There's always room for jello.
Jello?
Oh.
Oh, man. Too soon? Dear.
Too soon. Yeah, it's never too soon.
Never too soon for Bill Cosby jokes. Oh my goodness. And we got a shout out from Chris Siever.
Oh, that's right. That? Yeah, tell us about that.
Well, I went to his live feed, so you guys should check it out. There's a YouTube. Warlock Home Entertainment has a her home video. I think is a just look up Warlock Home video and you'll find it. But there's they did a live cast on YouTube where they were just talking about the stuff that they're about to release and everything like that. And they were answering questions from the audience, you know, anybody in the chat room. And I was on there on the Indie Film Cafe saying, hey, we're excited about your projects. And so they were like, oh, it's Jonathan Moody's stuff. And then they talked about you a little bit. And they said that they knew that we were fans and, you know, and everything like that. And They weren't sure if you were or not. They didn't know.
We're going to show Just Jen more Chris Siever movies.
She's already seen Ski Wolf. That's one of the many. But anyway, so yeah, so that was pretty cool to get an Indie Film Cafe shout out. Hopefully we've got some more listeners based on that. I know we got another subscriber because of it, so I felt like that was nice.
We'd love to have Chris Siever on the show. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Oh, my God. If he could come down here and film with us, that would be awesome.
Awesome.
Anyway, we're gonna wrap this up. Thank you guys so much for checking this out. Hope you guys had a good time. Check us back in 2 weeks.
Yep. Sounds great. We will see you soon. Thanks.
All right. Have a great night.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Oops, Snuggles.
La 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 la.